Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My name is Abdul Hakim Qasim, and with all pleasure, I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, 30th August 2025, corresponding to the 6th of Rabiul Awal, 1447 AH. It's the first Saturday of the month of the third month of the Hijriah year 1447 AH. That is the month of Rabi'ul Awal, the month that is reputed for the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gift of good life and the gifts of health. Alhamdulillah, on this show, Everyday Muslim, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence with other society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. This program is made possible by a Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in conjunction in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. So it's a pleasure to have you join us again this Saturday morning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the Exalted, says in the glorious Quran, in Quran chapter 33, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 21, Allah says, indeed, O the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you have the best of example to follow. For whoever hopes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believes in the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very much. Today I want to begin a series titled Walking in His Light, the Life, Mercy and Character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understanding the fact that this is the month of Rabi'ul Awal, the month in which generally it is accepted as the month in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad, was born. And for that reason, we want to x-ray the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a series in this month, and that's why we're choosing the theme for the month, Walking in His Light, the Life, Mercy and Character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today, inshallah, the topic we'll be looking at is the man behind the message. The man behind the message. Who was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before revelation? And for that reason, that is what we want to take a look at today. And for those who probably listening, this program is also streaming live on Facebook, on Instagram via Everyday Muslim on Instagram. So you can log in on Instagram to view the studio, to view the presenter, and to also get across to the guest discussant for today. The program is also streaming simultaneously on the YouTube page of WFM. So log on to YouTube and also check out WFM Women Radio 91.7. You would see the program is also streaming live there. So today, like I said, we'll begin a journey that is both deeply spiritual and profoundly human. In this new series, Walking in His Light, the Life, Mercy and Character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will retrace the footsteps of the man whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to carry his final message to humanity. Our focus will not only be on the events of his blessed life, but on the timeless lessons they hold for us today. Lessons about integrity, resilience, family, leadership, and the pursuit of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator. So in this first series, we pause to reflect on the important question. Before revelation, before the Quran was sent, down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind. Who was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What values, qualities and life experiences shaped him into the vessel of divine trust? To guide us in this reflection, we are joined by our esteemed guest, Imam Abu Labiba Tawfiq Busari Abul Barakat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Imam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alright. For those of us who are meeting Imam Abu Labiba Tawfiq Busari for the first time, Abu Labiba Abul Barakat is the Imam and Director Darul Sa'ida Islamic Center, Ota, in Ogun State. He's also the Quran tutor of the University, Christian University, Abeokuta, Ogun State. So Imam, again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and you're welcome to Everyday Muslim.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well,
you know, if the blessing of Allah is dropping down there, because we are experiencing the blessing of Allah here. I mean the rain.
Okay, so Imam, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes. All right. So, I can hear you loud and clear. All right. Good. So, to begin with, Imam, can you please paint a picture of Makkah at the time of Prophet Muhammad's sallallahu alaihi wasallam's birth? So, what kind of society was he born into, and why does understanding that context of Makkah at the time of his birth matter in appreciating the story of his life?
I think I would like to join directly because of the rain. Let me join via call. I wouldn't mind calling because the rain might disrupt the internet connection, and we might not enjoy the session.
Right now, I wouldn't know if at all we might still go on. In case, then we can switch, because right now you are very much loud and clear, and I believe we can go.
Okay then. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. All praises be to Almighty Allah, the Lord of the Magnificent Throne, who beseech his blessings upon the noblest of mankind, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, his household, his companions, and all those that tread his path till the day of reckoning. Alhamdulillah that Allah gave us Nabiullah Muhammad as a mercy to the world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent by Allah rahmatan lil alamin, as a mercy to the entire world. This month is mostly acclaimed to be the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though the records showing this is quite not reliable enough. In fact, we have some people that said that this month is actually the month that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather than being born in Rabi'ul Awwal. Why is it that the record regarding when he was born isn't too affirmed like other records? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in an era where records were a bit shallow. They were actually using events of time, events of the moment, to refer to happenings at that time. For example, the year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born is called the year of elephant. The year of elephant. Why was it referred to as the year of elephant? That was the year some people, the leader of
Yemen.
Yemen, the leader of Yemen, thank you very much, made attempts to attack the house of Allah, because he wanted to divert attention of people away from Kaaba to the house of worship he built in Yemen there. So that if he does not destroy Kaaba, then he will not be able to divert people's attention all across the globe towards his own place. So, and they were known with what we call elephants. They were so powerful and so, you know, they have that war strength to the extent that they were using elephants all around, just like riding horses and camels. So they were called the people of elephants. They came all the way from Yemen to Mecca just to attack Kaaba and destroy the place. The people of Mecca gave them way because they said they are not the owner of Kaaba, belongs to God. And the owner of Kaaba, if he wants you to destroy it, then go ahead and destroy the place. So when getting to the place, Allah destroyed them, couldn't destroy Kaaba. And that's the story Allah narrated for us. So I feel that أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألم تر كيف فعل ربك يا أصحاب الفيل. Didn't you see how your Lord dealt with the people of the elephant? ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل. Didn't make their plots to be in destruction. وأرسل عليهم طيرنا بابل. Allah sent against them the bird was throwing against them stone speak from the hell of Sijil. Faja'ahum kasfim ma'kul. Allah said, we made them to be like grass that has been eaten, a straw that has been eaten like by an animal. So Allah destroyed them. That event happened in the year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, and that's referred to as the year of elephant. That is the best and the unanimous record all historians have been able to gather regarding the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as for the month, there are controversial opinions regarding when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. But actually, are we really concerned about when he was born, if not why he was born? When he was born is not really our concern, but the purpose of his creation, the purpose of his coming, which is rahmatan lil alamin. The Prophet came as a mercy to the entire world. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about Nabiullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said, innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. You have the best of exemplary character. This is one of the why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
I want us in this hadith, because I want us to probably paint a picture of the Meccan society as at that particular time when he was born. So we might really not bother about the exactness of the date, but about the peculiarities or the uniqueness of the Meccan society as at that particular time that he was born.
Naam, thank you very much. I was about quoting one hadith you entered with regarding the Meccan society. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, innama bu'ithtu liutammima makarim al-akhlaq. I was actually raised by Allah for nothing but to come and perfect moral characters. Because at the time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, moral decadence, moral degeneration was at its peak. It was at its peak in Mecca. The rich believed that they had their life at the best, and anyone that is not rich shouldn't even move closer to them, let alone live the kind of life they are living. Slaves are being treated as if they are animals. Women were nothing during that time. In fact, women were being buried alive. if someone gives birth to to a female child, then you will be deceived. That should he leave that female child upon disgrace and face the disgrace amongst people, or he takes the bold step to bury the child. See the generation decadence morals where during the era the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. In fact, those with good morals were seen like the mad ones, were seen like very stupid amongst the society. They feel that oppression was the way. Oppressing people was being celebrated. Cheating people was being celebrated. Manipulating people was being celebrated. In fact, women were seen as toys to get whatever they wanted. If it is sexual gratification, then pick anyone you want and go ahead with it. If it is property, you own them. They are to be shared along with the property. Amongst all other moral, decadence amongst people in their businesses, in their homes, in their activities, and so on. In fact, robbery was at the peak of it at that time. This was the era the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found himself, when people were worshipping nothing but idols. They saw God as someone that could not be close to, but rather move closer to God through some intermediaries like their idols and the likes, doing tawaf of Kaaba in their naked way.
Looking at that, thank you for extraying that picture for us of Makan society, where might is right, and women were objects of sexual gratification, and the practice of female infanticide and all other forms of degeneration. Now, looking at the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tasted pain of loss very early, for the fact that he was born an orphan, at the time of his birth his father was no more, and he also soon lost his mother as well. So how did these experiences of vulnerability shape his compassion, his humility, and his complete reliance on Allah, for the fact that your immediate pillars of support were almost unavailable as at that particular time for a young boy of that nature? So what would you say about how such experiences shaped his compassion, his humility, and absolute reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creator?
One of one of the greatest blessings and lessons, greatest blessings and lessons Allah gave to Nabiullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the fact that he never knew his parents. He started, what I mean by never knew his parents, like you said, his father even died before he was born, and his mother died when he was at the age of 6. He barely knew her. This was a blessing from Allah in an aspect, because Allah taught the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam total reliance on Allah. Allah proved to him right from time that I am the one that will take care of you, and I've been there for you right from time, and I'll be there for you till the end. Just like Allah said in Surah Al-Duha, Allah said, "Alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa." Didn't you find you as an orphan, and we shielded you, we protected you, we gave you shelter? We found you an orphan, not to be linked with anybody, but we made you most relevant amongst people. Because sometimes parental care, parental love always shields one away from what he or she needs to achieve at a certain time in life. parents' overprotection out of too much love will be afraid to expose their child towards some certain things. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had that taken away from him at that time. Allah made him face the reality of life at a very early stage of his life, which shielded him, which also molded him and made him what he became as an exemplary leader in life. Yes, his grandfather would have also shown him that kind of overprotection, that kind of excess love that will not make him face the reality in time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the grandfather because the grandfather loved him excessively. Allah took him as well. He was now left with, his uncle, Abu Talib. And Abu Talib, at the time Abu Talib received Nabiullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had also seen that shape, that direction Allah had given the life of Nabiullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as at that time. So he was actually following suit the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his nature and what he feels would also be in line with his personality at that time. So he respected him, called him to the tradition makings, he traveled with him and respected his opinion in a whole lot of situations. So what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced at that early stage was part of the things that Allah used to mold the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make him an exemplary individual that he became at his later life and that we enjoy till today. Another aspect of it regarding the loss of his parents is that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his parents alive, imagine the parents not accepting the message Allah sent him with. That would have been a very strong setback for the message, for the Nubuwa prophethood of Nabiullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because a great reference would be made to the positions and the perceptions of his parents regarding what he was doing. But Allah made him, gave him that total reliance, complete tawakkul upon Allah. Allah said, "Wa duha wa layli idha saja ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala." Your Lord never forsake you for a day, for any moment. Your Lord has never forsaken you.
At least the loyalty was absolute towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not necessarily deviated, probably because of the love of the parents one way or the other. So that was also a blessing in disguise, one way or the other. Now, looking at the fact that long before revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already known among his people as Al-Amin, that is the trustworthy, and As-Sadiq, the truthful one. All right, so can you share moments from his youth or adulthood that illustrate this reputation? And how can the youths of today, including Muslims especially, embody such integrity in a world often tempted by shortcuts and dishonesty?
Alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been known with his exemplary character right from childhood, to the extent that he was given the name Al-Amin. And also, Al-Amin means the trustworthy, and he was known as As-Sadiq al-Masduq, the truthful one, that is widely accepted to be a truthful one. These two qualities have been lost in our society at the moment. Greatly lost, only remaining in few quarters, only remaining with few individuals. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known during his time to always keep whatever that is kept with him without even touching any. whatever is kept with him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will keep it intact. The moment it is requested, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will bring it out as exactly the way it is kept with him. Not change. Is that the way we do it today? It was his truthfulness and his trustworthiness that brought him close to Khadija, the great merchant at that time. Khadija at that time was suffering a that would be trustworthy regarding her business. Going to business line, we know that so the owner of business will be everywhere. The business will definitely need some person in the
Imam, we seem to be having some challenges with the network actually right now. So we might probably have to switch the mode. I don't know, the network is the audibility is muffled sort of. Can you hear me, ma'am?
Okay, I can hear you now.
I think it's better right now. It's better now.
Are you can you hear me now?
All right. Okay. So we seem to be having some technical hitches along that line. So would we connect with the Imam? The program is still Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Is it back online? All right. So Imam, you're back. All right. You can go on.
Now, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? If you can hear me, could you please provide the number that I can call directly so that we enjoy the session?
All right, so we'll reconnect with the Imam. The program is still Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. So Women Radio 91.7 FM. We'll go on a quick break to connect with the Imam. The program will continue in a moment. Please stay with us.
يا شفيعي يا رسول الله نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك.
You're welcome back. The program is still Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. We are discussing a series, Walking in His Light, the life, mercy and character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today, the first in the series, we're looking at the man behind the message. Who was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before revelation? And taking us through that is Imam Abu Labib Tawfiq Busawiri Abul Barakat, the Imam and Director Darul Saida, Islamic Center, Ogun State, the Quran Tutor of the University, Christian University, Abeokuta, Ogun State. Yeah, Imam, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alright, so again, we apologize for the technical glitches along the line there. It's the weather condition that has actually forced that. So, although we are pressed for time, so we'll probably take the questions. We need to get the responses very, very short to some of the questions so that we can also interact with our listeners. So, alright, so we're trying to talk about the fact that first of all, was already repeated among his people as Al-Amin and As-Sadiq, the truthful and trustworthy one, even before revelation. So can I quickly conclude your thoughts on that particular question, especially as regards how today's youth can actually embody such integrity in the world that is filled with dishonesty?
Thank you very much. I was just trying to cite the example quickly regarding his role in the business of mother Khadija before they got married. Khadija was a great merchant during her time, well known for greatness in business, and she required more personnel, to rely on for the success of the business. But she was betrayed at most times by most of those she was recruiting for the activity, till she met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was astonished at his level of truthfulness and level of trustworthiness. He would come back, state everything the way it is, and without mincing words, and giving her full, clear records of the activities which she had not experienced in past times. And that raised her interest in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she had been the one rejecting offers of people asking her hand in marriage, but she willingly requested the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in marriage because of that exemplary and unique character. In fact, very, very scarce at that time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known for such. All of us require this emulation, because our businesses, activities, places of work are really suffering regarding having trustworthy people and truthful people. May Allah guide us.
Allahumma, I mean, all right. That's remarkable. Now,
for the fact that it's also recorded in history, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worked first as a shepherd and later as a merchant with our mother Khadija. Now, people might find this to be ordinary jobs, but then it is believed that such experiences exposed him to life's realities and to diverse communities. So, in what ways did these experiences prepare him for the monumental responsibility of prophethood? And what message does this hold for us about finding value in humble beginnings?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born into a noble family. A noble family, family of repute, that were known for their leadership and nobleness all across the Arab world. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never relied on the wealth of the family. Never relied on
nobility.
On such nobility, he believed in working with his own hands and earning for himself. This is a message for us all. No matter the wealth we meet at home, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the best wealth, the best income is what you use your hand to do and earn from your sweat. That's the best of it. And he said, we should, in Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even referred us to that of Nabiullah Dawood alayhi salam. Because Nabiullah Dawood ate from his own sweat. He ate from his sweat, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to eat from our sweat. We shouldn't have that feeling of what's it called?
Entitlement.
Which is quite filled in the world now.
Yes.
Everyone is feeling entitled into what is not his. You feel once somebody has money that you are entitled to getting from what he has. Who made it your right? And that is why begging has come to a profession now.
Allahu Akbar.
Has come to a profession, which is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made us understand that Islam frowns seriously at this. You see people calling at different times, telling you, all of them saying the same thing, I've not eaten since yesterday afternoon. The same thing, the same story. Some people, you know, calling negative things to themselves because they want to collect money, claiming that they are sick or thereabout.
Telling
this
lies.
This is wrong. Let us believe in humble beginning. Let's start from the ground zero.
All right.
You cannot climb a step and jump from 1 to 10. No. It has to be from 0 to 1, 1 to 2, 1 to 3, 3 to 4.
Start like that
and you'll be murdered at your growth.
All right. Very quickly now. Earlier, you touched on the marriage to our mother Khadija, a woman, a businesswoman, a business merchant. Now, looking at this, this marriage was more than just an ordinary companionship. It was a partnership grounded in trust, respect, and unwavering support. Now, how does this relationship reflect, the nobility of the Prophet's character, and what guidance does it offer our families today about building homes anchored on love and mutual reinforcement?
Allahu Akbar. The both of them were lovebirds that could, their life could be really used as a manuscript for homes, marital relationships. We knew definitely that our mother Khadija was quite very wealthy. Wealthier than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam.
But the companionship they shared shielded, covered that great difference between them. The difference in terms of age, the difference in terms of wealth, it shielded everything. They looked as if nothing really separated them. They lived their life as one. And that's why Islam preaches mercy, companionship, mercy, compassion, empathy,
love.
Love even comes, later. Where compassion exists, where mercy exists, where empathy exists, my brother, love will definitely come.
Allahu Akbar.
because love is an object of something.
Hmm.
It comes out of something, depending on how we relate with one another.
Absolutely, absolutely.
There are sometimes love will be called to, you know, to question. Do I really love him? Hmm. In fact, at the moment, I'm seriously angry or thereabout. Love will be called to question.
Hmm.
But mercy should never be called to question.
Hmm.
Compassion should never be called to question.
Hmm.
Empathy should never be called to question. The more you are empathic, the more you show compassion, the more you show mercy, you are building in the emotional bank account of your partner.
Absolutely.
Imagine how rich Khadija was. Alone, couldn't enter the house of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Alone should be returned back to her house. I would rather go there to live with her.
Allah Akbar.
Allah Akbar Kabira. Now, how many marriages do we have like that today?
Because it is actually majority of the marriages today are actually based on parasitic relationships. So the man would rather, if that would happen, such a man would actually even be viewed as opportunistic. A lot of them actually are after the wealth. It's because of the wealth, not necessarily out of true love.
Once issues come up. Amongst them, the woman will be reminding you,
yes.
I will not be the one to pack out for you. You know
you are in my house.
You will be the one to pack out for me, you know.
All right.
In fact, that area, if I go deep on the
marital aspect, that's another lecture. All right. Jazakumullah khair. All right. So to our listeners, you can be a part of this discussion by calling the number 07000-917-917. 07000-917-917. Our toll-free line for our female callers is 0800-235-917 for our female callers. It's a toll-free line. You can also send a message to us via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 081-55-917-917. That is 081-55-917-917. Like I said earlier in the program, this program is streaming live on YouTube. Women Radio's YouTube page. It's streaming live. At the same time, it's also streaming live on Instagram, Everyday Muslim, via MPAC on Instagram. So, all right. So, Imam, let's quickly move on because of the paucity of time. Before revelation, first of all, Allah wasallam, usually made visits, to cave of Hira for reflection. Now, so looking at this kind of attitude for someone to maintain solitude away from the hustle and bustle of the city of Mecca, place in Cave of Hira for reflection. So what does this tell us about his spiritual disposition, and how might we in our noisy and distracted age learn to cultivate moments of silence and reflection to reconnect with our Creator?
Barakallahu feekum. That's a very important aspect of our life, having that silent moment where we reflect into our essence of creation and the greatness of our Lord, and how we interact with our Lord to earn His pleasure and mercy. This is embedded in our presence in the masajid, created by Allah Himself for us to be in the masjid, most especially meals, going for congregational prayers every 5 times a day, creating that when you enter the masjid when salah is going on, most especially when that silence, the rakaat, if you drop a pin, you will hear it. What are we doing? Meditation over the message of our Creator, the awesomeness of our Creator, and so on. Also, we have this during our Qiyamul Layl, the late night voluntary prayer that is highly recommended and highly rewarding for everyone to participate in. It gives you a lot of introspect into the greatness of our Lord and the essence of our creation. Also, exploring the opportunity of itikaf in the masajid also gives one this opportunity, as well exploring the window of going for Umrah, going for Hajj, gives us that unique opportunity that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had during Kibira to be able to reflect and introspect regarding our essence of creation. Because there was no such activities, all these activities I mentioned, there was no such as at that time. That was why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going into Kibira to have that silent moment with his for him to do tafakkur, meditation, reflection into the creation of his Lord and the essence of his own creation. But the moment Allah gave him series of activities like the ones I mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't going there anymore. Rather, he was using those activities to reflect more regarding his Lord.
So invariably, it is important for us as believers to always create time to connect with our Creator, to connect with our Lord, and to reflect over our actions and the essence of our creation. Jazakumullah khair. Now, looking at the fact that we are exploring the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before revelation, before his call to prophethood, how was he regarded by his people during this stage of his life when he was not even yet a prophet, just an ordinary man in the city of Makkah, you know, living his life with his family? Did they already see in him qualities of leadership? And what lesson should we as individuals and as a community draw from the importance of building trust and credibility before being entrusted with greater responsibility? We have a lot of people today that you only get to see them, get to know them when they want to aspire for political office, when they are aspiring for one thing, or they need one thing from the community, or they want a leadership in within the community, or whatever. And that is when they come around to campaign or to now start doing some things just to, you know, attract attention. So how was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarded during this stage of his life, without even the fact that he was a prophet?
Let me answer with this scenario, because of time. Just one scenario.
Okay.
When the Kaaba was renovated.
Okay.
The Meccans, the Arabs, decided to renovate Kaaba, but in the course of the renovation, they captured where they could capture. And now they wanted to place Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone, in its location. That Hajar al-Aswad is a noble stone that is highly revered amongst the Arabs, then the Muslims in general now. So now, which family will take the honor of taking Hajar al-Aswad and putting it where it should be? No family, nobody allowed a single family to do this. They were all fighting. We are meant to do it. No, we are the most honored ones amongst you. We are this. We are more eligible to this than any other person. It became a serious altercation amongst the families. This went on and on. A particular day, they sat down. They were now deliberating on the way forward. Then they said, somebody raised that, let us agree that whoever enters now, let us put the decision in the mouth of that person. Whatever he says should be the final. Then they all agreed. Okay, we all agree. And at that moment, who entered? It was our noble Prophet Muhammad.
Sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. Even before his prophethood, he came in. The moment they saw him, they all shouted, Radina bil Amin! Radina bil Amin! We are all pleased with the trustworthy one. Whatever he says, we are okay with it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we have the major families, four. Go, come with a piece of cloth for me. And he pushed the stone there. Each family should have a representative and hold it at the edge. And they carried it, went to where the black stone would be, and he used his honored hand, and he pushed the black stone right in there. They shocked. They were surprised that this was what we've been fighting over for how long. Look at just this
Hello, Imam, are you there? Hello? Oh, okay. Still seems the network is proving to be very stubborn today. Alright, so we are still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7 FM. So you can be a part of this discussion, like I said earlier. You can call the number 07000-917-917. You can also call for our female listeners, 0800-235-917. Let us hear from you. What do you feel about this? And you can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 0815-5917-917. We are extraying the life of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before prophethood, the man behind the message. That's it. It's actually a series. And today we're looking at the man behind the message, the life and times of Prophet Muhammad before his call to prophethood. And leading us in that discussion is Imam Abu Labib Tawfiq Busari Abul Barakat, the director of Darul Sa'inda, Ota Ogun State, and the Quran tutor of the university, Christian University at Belkuta. All right. So we are waiting for your call and your messages as we try to wrap up the program today. All right, okay, so we're expecting your message. Remember that we are in the month of Rabi' al-Awwal, although like Imam said, many Muslims, we have a message. All right. Okay, we have this message, although the name is not indicated. It said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullahu khairan to you both. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve you both upon goodness and increase steadfastness. What should I do when I feel like I have lost my connection with Allah? I feel like I no longer enjoy the sweetness of doing some ibadah. Alright, we have noted that. Okay, that came from Ummu Hafsa, Jazakumullahu khairan, for the message. Is Imam back online? Alright, so while we await Imam, considering the question that you have asked, that what should I do when I feel like I've lost my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, one thing you must try to do is always find a way to reconnect with your Lord. Now, our Lord is forever there, and He's always interested in us reconnecting with Him, coming back to Him. Looking at this, Rasulullah ﷺ told us concerning our faith that al-Iman yazid wa yanqus, that even our faith, it rises and falls, it fluctuates. So because the companions came to Him and were wondering, when we are with you, we always feel elevated. And by the time we get back to our families, we are away from you, if our minds turn away, we feel like, our faith has actually, diminished and things like that. So it's natural. It's the nature of man. But the soul of man, as a believer, it continues, it rises and it falls. So it's natural. But when you feel disconnected like that, check yourself, evaluate your activities. How well are you relating with your Lord? What are you spending your time on? How are you using your time? How exactly is Allah to you? How well are you checking? What are you doing? How legal is it? Are you following the dictates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So where are some of those areas that you think you are defaulting? Try to correct them. Do istighfar. Seek Allah's forgiveness. Seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. And try as much as possible to reconnect with your Lord. Bi qudratillah, you will be able to maintain that reconnection. And for you to reconnect with your Lord, Allah is even happier and appreciates that better than for you to just feel like shaitan. It's shaitan that will make you feel like, I have sinned, so there is nothing for me. Do you think Allah can still forgive me? Shaitan tries to remove hope from our lives, and that is very fault. All right, here's Imam back. All right, so Imam, all right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. All right. So Imam, in closing, as we open this series with the fact that what enduring lessons from the time of Rasulullah Sallam before revelation would you urge people, everyone, especially believers, especially the younger generation, to hold on to as we strive to walk in His light today, as we wrap up, Imam, very quickly?
Okay,
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interacted with people with the best of morals. We need to return back to restoring moral characters amongst us, amongst our children, because this is far lost. We feel Islam is only necessary only with the dictates of praying and the likes. No. Deen and khuluq together, the religion, no characters, it will make you earn the mercy and pleasure of the Lord.
No. All right, Jazakumullah khairan, Imam. It's been a wonderful time with you today, and X-raying, looking at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before prophethood. All right, so we appreciate you. We appreciate the insight that you have shared. Pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly, and we apologize for the fluctuations in the network. It's actually beyond our control. And to all our listeners, Jazakumullah khairan for listening. We also appreciate those who sent in messages. Jazakumullah khairan. Now, before we go, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. From Allah we came, and certainly to Him is our eventual return. Our prayers is that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best of exits when our time comes. Today we lost our father, the father of Dr. Rashid Salu, that's the chairman of the MPAC radio program. I will pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him a warm reception, keep him from during his questioning period, make his barzakh, the life in the grave, a window to his place in Al-Jannah Firdaus, and forgive him all his sins. May he give his successors, including Dr. Rashid Salu, the fortitude to bear this irreparable loss. Guide and protect them after his demise, and do not make the life of any one of them, nor any one of us, wretched and miserable after his demise. Jazakumullah khairan. Allahumma ikfir lahu warhamhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive Abba. Our hearts, our condolences are with the family of Dr. Rashid Salu at this trying moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen and comfort the family for this loss. This is how far I'll be able to go on the program. You can listen again to this episode or other previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on mpac-ng.org. Scroll down and click on the MPAC project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episode. You can also follow Everyday Muslim on social media. Our Facebook page is Everyday Muslim. Our Instagram, where you can even view this live session today on Everyday Muslim 01. Everyday Muslim 01 there on Instagram. Everyday Muslim 01 on Instagram. And Everyday Space Muslim on Facebook. Inshallah, the program will make its way back to your airwaves next week. Same time, 11 a.m., same station, WFM 91.7 FM. This has been made possible by MPAC Muslim Public Affairs Center in conjunction with the management of WFM Women Radio 91.7. Thank you all for your attention. Thank you for joining us today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives till next week and beyond. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim, and I leave you with this nasheed of Umar Isa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As-salamu alaykum.